But here's Ted Lefroy, director for the Centre of Environment at UTAS, to open a really gnarly question, which is, what is nature? We talk about nature. Tasmania is the natural state. We talk about our natural values. But when you dig down, what are you really saying? Hello, Ted.
Morning, Rick.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
Right, February, let's get thinking.
Go.
What is this debate about nature?
Okay, well, look.
What are the positions?
The positions are as follows. What triggered my interest was a paper that came out the end of last year in the journal Nature, highly esteemed scientific journal, by two scientists, Heather Tallis and Jane Lubchenco. And it was a very short, 1.5 pages saying, enough already, this argument about intrinsic value or instrumental value. So there's an argument been going on within the pages of scientific journals for about 30 years about motives for conservation, nature conservation. Should we conserve nature for its intrinsic value, the value it has in and of itself, or should we use instrumental arguments, arguments that it has value to human existence, it has value to humans?
So we need to support nature because it's nature that supports us.
Yeah.
Or nature's just in and of itself a good thing and should be looked after.
Yeah.
And of course, that's what the scientists are arguing. And then there's the other positions, aren't there, that, you know, we have dominion over nature and can do whatever we damn well like.
Yeah. And that's the extreme form of the instrumental argument. But what I liked about this paper by Heather Tallis and Jane Lubchenco was they are saying it's not a case of either or. It's both. So let's just get on with it. It was a very short piece. I mean, they didn't go into all of the depth, but the interesting thing for me was they were calling a truce, because it's been getting quite personal and quite nasty, and it's not a debate that should be conducted in scientific journals. It's not the province of science to decide why we do things. Science tells you how, not why. So these debates...
You sort of need the philosophers doing that
exactly.
Stuff, don't you?
Yeah, but better still, it needs to come out into the public domain. And that's why it was encouraging to see in Saturday's Mercury a double-page spread by Don Nola on exactly this, and he mentioned one of these papers.
Because in Tasmania, we talk about our natural values, we're trying to build our identity on our natural values. But I wonder if you asked most people, even if at home now you examine what your thoughts are, whether people know.
Yeah, but and that's why I think it's useful that these debates come out into the public domain and not be conducted in these journals. Well, and part of the reason for that is you know, when the environment movement really got started, which is about the middle of the 20th century, and when conservation biology started as a discipline 30 years ago, there was very much you put nature ahead of humans, and there's
This argument comes out, doesn't it, when the Labour Greens coalition was in power, then the opposition parties, that's the argument they'll reel out. Those Greens, they don't care about people, they just want trees. Mm. Trees ahead of people. We hear that.
Mm. And and the two sides of the argument are made much too simplistic. They're forced to either end of a continuum. They're polarised, and yet, you know, they meet in the middle, and that's the point. But in an extreme form, some of that argument that you put nature ahead of people meant that Indigenous people were excluded from areas that were turned into national parks. This happened in South America. Or they weren't consulted when national parks were declared, and that happened in Australia. So people didn't think of prior contact, traditional ownership. You know, that people, a lot of, quite frankly, white male conservation biologists and ecologists were putting rare and endangered species ahead of human existence. And what's happened in the last 30 years is that debate is maturing and evolving. And instead of being an extreme opposition between intrinsic value or instrumental, what these two, Heather Tallis and Jane Lubchenco, are arguing is we've got to look at both. You remember the misogyny debate in Parliament.
Mm.
Okay. The equivalent in nature conservation is a misanthropy debate. And to be quite honest, a lot of the intrinsic value advocates become quite misanthropic. In other words,
anti-person.
Hating humans.
Yeah.
You know, mea culpa. We it's all our fault. Oh, you know. And I think you can take that so far that you remember Martin Luther King, I had a dream, right? Well, a lot of the conservation literature has the tone of, I have a nightmare. Now, how is that going to galvanize people into action if you're just talking about loss, extinction?
And Doom saying it's 20 to 7 on 936 ABC Hobart. Ted Lefroy is director for the Centre of Environment at UTAS and pops in every couple of months to drop a provocative bomb in your mind for breakfast. And today we're talking about nature and its relative values. If you take the position that humans are part of nature, we evolved too, and the things that we do then are just part of that process. We also have a survival instinct. Don't we just muddle through? Will things not generally be all right in the end?
Not always, but I think the important thing about that is that what we're doing now is putting as much emphasis on protecting the processes that enable life to evolve and adapt as we are trying to protect individual species and bits of habitat.
Because that's the danger, isn't it, with conservation, is that you prevent evolution by trying to maintain things at some arbitrary point in time, but evolution's constant.
Exactly. And if we don't allow those processes to continue and to flourish, then not only do the things we're trying to save not get saved, but it's to our detriment as well.
So I read about fish who've learned to process PCBs, who are terrible toxins. I mean, all the other fish in the river died, but one survived.
and that's the whole point about natural selection, is that you know, we need this huge variety in order to cope with the changes that inevitably come. So trying to freeze a part of the landscape in aspect or preserve species without looking at the broader landscape is doomed to fail. So even though this argument's got quite acrimonious, the encouraging thing is it's moving from a purely compositional view of nature. It's just the things there that we want to preserve. It's moving to a functional view. What are the processes that support those things and us? That's what we have in common. So appealing to instrumental values should be added to intrinsic values so that there is a bit of enlightened self-interest. Not only that, but an understanding that we are equally dependent on all of those processes surviving, such as the cycling of water and nutrients, the flow of energy, the flow of genes. To make a clear demarcation between humans and nature is to our detriment. So, I'd encourage people, you can go online and find these, this paper by Heather Tallis and Jane Lubchenco. The one that really triggered it was an article by Peter Kariva in the journal Bioscience in 2012, where he just said, what is conservation science? And that was the provocative one that put the cat amongst the pigeons.
I mean, one of the sort of fascinating facts that I love is in humans, there's more microbe cells in our guts than there are human cells being a human, that we're in fact possibly a vehicle for them rather than the other way around, and that those microbes can change depending on your environment.
Yeah. We're an ecosystem.
And exactly. So, you know, it's so porous, but that's a very hard idea for us to get our heads around because we're so much more comfortable with discrete definitions and separation.
Yeah.
We're not comfortable with sliding scales. And when I look at, you know, the politics today where you've got a political party eating itself over an internal debate, in a way it's similar with science. How much time and energy gets wasted on these things?
Yeah, because we lose perspective. Yeah, there's a lovely opening line in a book, Tom Robbins, American novelist, I really like. And look, he's stretching it a bit, but it causes you to turn your brain inside out when you read it. Life was invented by water as a means of getting around. it's fanciful, but there are elements about that where we have a too marginalized and simplistic view. So, you know, I think the most encouraging thing is this debate is now getting out of the scientific journals and into the public domain, and that's where values belong. Scientists shouldn't be the arbiters of value. The technical questions about how we save things and how we do things, yes, but not why and not our motives. And so I think that's really encouraging, and that's why it was encouraging to see that article of Don Nola's on the weekend, and may there be many more.